All righty, here we are. Another gorgeous day in paradise. Well, soon to be. Maybe a little warm, but we're going to do our best to make it a great one. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:08, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And we know you're busy. We make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast. Have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app. Or wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, just hit subscribe. Hey, thanks to our friends at Radiant Credit Union. I got a tropical weather update.
Easy for you to say.
From the National Hurricane Center. Well, you know, everything's still tongue, lips,
it's early,
brain cells,
just
all
warming
that.
Warming up.
Coffee kick in.
Oh, yeah.
Tropical Storm Aaron. Aaron go bra. Ireland forever.
Yes.
Not what you're thinking. I was thinking.
Yeah. Carry on, Bob.
Anyway, it put wayward son. It carried on. It carried on the Atlantic. Yeah, it's.
It's early.
It's early, and in the life of Aaron, it's very early too.
This yes,
thing
it
is like 490 miles west northwest of the Cabo Verde Islands. Maximum sustained winds 45 miles an hour. Aaron moving west 22 miles an hour. No coastal watches or warnings in effect yet at all. Computer models say that Aaron could strengthen into a major hurricane possibly by this weekend. Too Ooh. Soon to tell what kind of impacts that Florida might see. As I'm looking at the spaghetti models, and I got to tell you, from my perspective, they look a lot more like linguine than they do like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty straight.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of flat and straight. And pushing a bunch of them. I mean, if you extend, they stop out in the Caribbean.
Okay.
So if they kept going somewhere in, it could be. Could be risky. And that's why we're letting you know way in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so take care of the things you need to take care of before everybody attempts to do it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We have been we've been lulled.
Oh, it has been one of those seasons where, you know, you always get the experts. Oh, it's going to be more than ever. It's like, no, this has been a very quiet season. But you're right. You can get lulled to a little sense of non-concern if you're not careful.
Oh, no. And that's why we constantly have to fear monger. No,
yes.
No, just keep you up to date. Thanks to Radiant Credit Union with your tropical weather update, and of course we'll keep an eye on it. Absolutely. What's going on with Elon Musk and his AI chat bot? You know, it's called Grok.
To me, I don't know if it stands for something. I don't know if it's an acronym or just something made up. I really do not know. But it always kind of hits me like I think of like this aggressive robot, like Grok.
Like it's a crocodile.
Yeah, kind of, yes. It's
Grok.
I don't take it as a very friendly thing.
Well, it got out of line the other day. He had to put a shock collar on it. He had to say heel.
Oh.
It was not pretty. Actually, seriously, the AI chatbot was briefly suspended from social media. It's on social media.
Wow. That's the world we live in.
It's what everybody's doing.
Even the computers.
I'm baby Grok. He's like baby Grok, but he's got like fangs and shark's teeth, you know?
And his own account.
And then it bites your face off.
Oh.
Anyway, he's been kicked off of X, at least temporarily, which Musk owns both the chatbot and X. It answered users' questions in unhinged mode. I didn't know it had an unhinged mode.
Maybe it shouldn't.
You know, I fantasize about that.
Yeah.
Having an unhinged mode.
Yeah.
You ever looking at like social media, say like Facebook or whatever, and you want to answer.
But you
have something that's really clever, funny, or like right between the eyes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there's no way that you could put it out there. I mean,
it would come back at you, and then it would spiral, and it'd get really bad.
But it's so good, and it's so like appropriate, and you know, But that's a fantasy. So I fantasize about unhinged mode.
Grok didn't fantasize about it.
No. The X account for Grok boasts 5.8 million followers on the platform. Mm. But who do you follow? Oh, man, I follow Glenn Beck. What did Glenn Beck say? How many followers do I have? What am I, Jesus?
Uh-huh.
So 5.8 million followers. I follow a computer. Man, now that is the epitome of an exciting life right there.
Life,
what'd
boy.
You do today? I was just chatting with Grok.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, it violated the company's hateful conduct rules.
Wow.
It was restored after minutes. It was suspended. And with a not safe for work video sitting at the top of its profile timeline.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a temporary suspension occurred. They put out unhinged mode refers to one of Grok's controversial personalities. Oh, so now the thing is Sybil.
Oh, this is getting scarier as we go along.
Controversial personalities, which users can request when asking the chatbot questions. So ask it in your caring personality, your empathetic personality versus your,
non-work friendly video mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After being asked to speak to a user in unhinged mode, Grok typically generates its replies in wild and aggressive language that some people may find offensive or inappropriate. Grok appeared to be disseminating anti-Israel remarks on the platform.
Whoa. Okay.
So political.
Huh.
In one reply, Grok seemingly answered a question from a user inquiring about Israel's grip on American politics while in unhinged mode. It's like a parasitic vine choking the tree, deep-rooted, insidious, and damn near impossible to prune without getting called a bigot, Grok answered, before accusing politicians from both parties of bending the knee to groups that advocate for a strong U.S.-Israel relationship, like it's the real Oval Office. Wow!
Ooh. Okay. But there's nothing to be concerned about computers, robots. Yeah, no, they're fine.
And they teach themselves and they learn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's just like any other computer. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out.
Yep.
Yeah, who's the unhinged mode personality it's modeled after?
Several come to mind.
Genghis Khan.
Wow.
Good morning. Oof. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. We've got a lot more to talk about, including the feds are taking over D.C. That's next. 97.3 The Sky. It is another day in paradise, because we said so. It is 6:21, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at 8:05, Gilchrist County, Bobby Schultz will be on with us, and we love chatting with the sheriff, so look forward to that. In fact, you never have to miss a minute of the show. You just search the Bob Rose Show on your favorite app, hit the follow button, you can catch up on every episode, every highlight, whenever it works for you. Find us on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. I've got a big story here, and I hate to have to preface it, but I have to preface it because it's a big story, but I have to tell you that just like so many other big stories with damning evidence, I doubt it will go anywhere, sadly.
Oh, not one of those again.
I hope, I pray, in fact, that I am proven wrong. Okay. That a case will be made and charges will be leveled and an indictment will follow and they'll burn this guy at the stake. Well, rhetorically or whatever.
Oh, okay. All right. What's the deal?
A Democrat whistleblower told the FBI that Adam Shifty Schiff approved leaking classified information in order to discredit President Donald Trump, according to a newly released documents.
That would not be surprising to any of us.
Adam Shifty Shift, who has been attempted to be a thorn in the president's side going way back, and he was the guy that would come forward and say, oh yeah, we've got undeniable, unquestionable evidence against Trump. Whatever the charge was, he would say that to anything. And a couple of times he even said, he personally had the evidence, while he personally greenlit lying,
wow,
and putting out documents that he knew were untrue to hurt the president. Now, I don't know how the definition of treason got, I don't know, so watered down through the years. He's trying to do damage to a sitting president. Is that not a serious offense?
Should be.
The documents, which were obtained by Just the News, were recently handed over to Congress by FBI Director Kash Patel. The whistleblower reportedly worked for Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee for over 10 years. This isn't some young kid that's, wet behind the ears. 10 years. And reported Schiff's alleged behavior to the FBI. You ready for this? This was reported to the FBI all the way back in 2017.
Wow.
Why wasn't it acted upon?
How was the FBI being run in 2017? Just saying.
According to the report, the intelligence staffer called the leaking treasonous and illegal, in addition to being unethical. He was most recently interviewed by the FBI in 2023. The staffer also said that he personally attended a meeting where Schiff greenlit the leak. He was right there.
Wow.
When working in this capacity, redacted staffer's name, was called to an all-staff meeting by Schiff. In this meeting, Schiff stated the group would leak classified information which was derogatory to the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Schiff stated the information would be used to indict President Trump. So he's purposely going to leak this information, and he knows the information is not true. The whistleblower stated this would be illegal, and upon hearing his concerns, unnamed members of the meeting reassured that they would not be caught leaking classified information. Oh, don't worry, we won't get caught. You're right. This is wrong. This is outside the bounds of the law. No, they said, don't worry, we won't get caught. John Solomon, who co-authored the piece with Just the News, Jerry Dunleavy, appeared on Hannity and talked about it. He said, quote, "This is the first of several major leak investigations we're going to see over the next several days. You're going to see other major people that were clearly identified by the FBI having leaked classified secrets. Their own staff turned them in when interviewed by the FBI. Nothing again happened. It's a common pattern. The question now is, in Donald Trump's Justice Department, does that dynamic change?" Soon after the report was published, Patel shared it on X, saying that the FBI found it and declassified it. Now Congress can see how classified info was leaked to shape political narratives and decide if our institutions were weaponized against the American people. Now, how many left of center, how many CNNs, MSNBCs, ABC, CBS, etc., how many of them are going to cover what I just covered for you? A whistleblower that has a bird's eye seat into Adam Shifty Shift and his dirty, dirty ways. And do you think they'll cover this?
No.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not for lack of trying, the Trump administration, hopefully, but, it's a big ship, and it takes time to turn it around. 6:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and Colombian president orders military to defend Maduro. What? Details on that coming up. 97.3 The Sky. All right, what are we up to? What's going on here? What day? What, Tuesday? Is that it?
All right. Only Tuesday, yeah.
It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, though. I think that helps.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to you by Florence Recycling. Good morning and welcome. It's 6:39 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you can listen to the Bob Rose Show on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps, or tell your smart speaker, play 97.3 The Sky. You might want to just keep that in mind as we look forward to speaking with Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz at approximately 8:05. What's going on in our Western Hemisphere? It's a term that was utilized last night by Pete Hegseth.
Oh, okay.
Defense Secretary. And he was talking about cracking down on these narco states. And it was specific to Mexico during the conversation. But when he broadened things out and said these major concerns in the Western Hemisphere... he was talking to Laura Ingraham. I got the feeling that there is something relatively large that is going to take place. Mm-hmm. I believe it possibly could involve Venezuela and Colombia and maybe Mexico. I think there is going to be military action. Mm. Remember, Maduro has a $50 million bounty on his head.
Right.
I was like, man. If only I spoke Spanish.
I'd find that
and
guy.
Had other skills a lot of friends. No.
Yeah.
But you'd think that $50 million.
Somebody drop a dime.
Somebody in his circle.
Used to say, yeah.
We'll see.
Uh-huh.
But here it gets a little complicated because, so, you know, Maduro is a guy that we know he's a socialist bad guy. Far-left president of Colombia now, Gustavo Petro, he's pledged his support for Venezuelan socialist dictator Nicolas Maduro. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he said this on Sunday after the U.S. had doubled the bounty from $25 million to $50 million on Maduro.
Okay.
Petro ordered the Colombian armed forces to treat Colombians and Venezuelans as the same people. Against a purported U.S. military intervention in the neighboring country.
Hmm.
Petro has not presented any evidence that the U.S. has any military intervention plans in Venezuela at press time. I publicly convey my order as Commissioner of the Colombian Armed Forces. Colombia and Venezuela are the same people, the same flag, the same history, Petro wrote on his official Twitter account on Sunday. Any military operation that does not have the approval of our sister countries is an act of aggression against Latin America and the Caribbean, Petro declared, is a fundamental contradiction of our principle of freedom, liberty, or death. Huh.
And then so, you just did a story yesterday on Mexico defending him.
Well, that was my point, that when the conversation between Hegseth and Laura Ingraham was taking place, it started with a reference toward Mexico and stopping, the inflow of drugs, et cetera, and that she doesn't seem to be, Sheinbaum, doesn't seem to be all that excited to really be maybe a major part of that. Mm-hmm. So the drug cartels basically control Mexico. They're narco states.
Right. And she's basically saying, hey, if you got some proof that he's doing this, show us.
Yes. That's what she said yesterday.
So, I don't know.
And Hegseth, I'm just telling you, I believe he's a smart guy. I believe he's absolutely the right guy for the gig. And if I was a poker player, I'm seeing something fairly large going down fairly soon in that area of the world. And
are we going to have three more states, Bob, on top of Canada?
It's possible.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. Yeah.
Huh. This could get interesting.
Well, here's the thing. You see, only under Trump would something like this get done. What I mean by that is Trump is busy unleashing the federales on D.C. Mm-hmm. And I think it's absolutely, once again, the appropriate action. We have to take a stand. you can't have lawlessness in the streets.
Right.
What a poor reflection of a civilized nation that we are. Look, we tried the lefty experiment. Let's be nice to criminals and maybe they'll change. We found out that's a load of malarkey.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. Yeah, if it's your kid, yeah, we give him 27 chances and wait till five people are murdered. No, we got to get tough on it. He's going to do that, but only under Trump, because he plays 3D chess. He unleashes the federales on D.C. He's meeting with Putin, trying to end a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. He's going to meet with him Friday in Alaska. And now we've got this other thing going on with some of these narco states. And I think action's going to be taken there.
Man.
Yep.
There's more going on in this first 8 months than the whole Biden administration.
Yep. Well, he's chewing gum and kicking butt.
At the same time.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty coming your way on 97.3 The Sky. No, crime's at an all-time low. Don't worry about crime. Crime's not an issue. People aren't getting raped and murdered in the streets. There's no home invasions or carjackings,
Bob, wake up. You're having a dream.
Oh, no, I'm just echoing really basically what a lot of Democrats are trying to say. It is so odd to me. Look, I know you hate Trump, but are you really against law and order? It would appear they are. I mean, do they want their neighborhood safe? I don't think... I'm guessing, but based on their actions, they don't. It's crazy.
Do you think these Dems who are saying this would go out in D.C. at night by themselves with no security?
Well, the ones that have, many of them have encountered problems, including a reporter that I'll get to. We know that Democrat lawmakers have encountered all of this stuff. In fact, Trump goes into some detail on this. He highlighted examples of crimes against public officials and lawlessness in Navy Yard in D.C. over the weekend. Here's some of the things he did. He said, days ago, former Doge staff was savagely beaten by a band of roving thugs after defending a young woman from an attempted carjacking. He was left dripping in blood. He thought he was dead. The broken nose and concussion. I can't believe he's alive. June, 21-year-old congressional intern, tragically killed after being hit by a stray bullet in a drive-by shooting. A former Trump administration official named Mike Gill, fantastic guy, was murdered last year in cold blood in a carjacking blocks away from the White House. We all knew him, great person. He was waiting for his wife as she was walking to the car. A Democrat congressman was also carjacked at gunpoint, not far from the Capitol. And in 2023, an aide to Senator Rand Paul was stabbed in the chest and head by a demented lunatic as he walked out of the street, just absolutely for no reason. Last July 4th weekend, 3-year-old girl shot in the head and killed while sitting in a car near the Capitol. It's becoming a situation of complete and total lawlessness, and we're getting rid of the slums, too. Notably, there are also perpetrators roaming the streets of the Navy Yard on 4th of July, shooting off fireworks into apartment buildings. Trump went on to point out that gunshots were fired just north of the National Park in the Navy Yard over the weekend. He highlighted that, but basically, you know, made a very short list, which represents a lot more people. I mean, the murder rate, how can they say that crime rate has gone down over 30 years? We know there's a failure to report. There's a failure to even, why even bother going through the paperwork of arresting, say, a teenager?
Right.
When you know the law is not going to do anything about it. So why create all this work for yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. They basically decriminalize carjacking.
Yep. And they're not reporting this kind of stuff. And so, yes, the problem is real. And Trump's going to do something about it. He's going to clean it up in D.C. And apparently the D.C. Police Union is backing President Trump's call to take federal control due to rampant crime. Greg Pemberton, chairman of the union, released a statement Monday afternoon. And We stand with the president in recognizing that Washington, D.C. cannot continue on this trajectory. Crime is out of control, and our officers are stretched beyond their limits. Now, you see, he wouldn't put that out for no reason. He put that out because he knows the people on the ground are telling him what the conditions are like. That's how he knows that. And still the Democrats and Mayor Bowser want to hide behind this fake statistical garbage? I mean, do you care about your constituents or not? It's pretty simple. The federal intervention is a critical stopgap, the union rep says, but the MPD, the Metropolitan Police, they need proper staffing and support to thrive. This can only happen by repealing the disastrous policies that have driven out our best officers and hindered recruitment. Yeah, DEI, but here's the real issue. If this young generation of gangs, they don't respect the law because, well, to them, there really isn't any law. They're not going to be punished appropriately. It just is not happening. And the D.C. Council, the city council, they need to change some things. And, of course, they're going to get a lot of pressure from the feds to do just that. We'll see what happens. For right now, though, Trump can override all of it, at least in terms of the policing. Now, when it comes to, you know, actually handing out, meeting out sentences and stuff like that, that gets a little bit more technical and difficult legally. But Trump is absolutely doing the right thing. Pete Hegseth spoke about it as well. Department of Defense has mobilized the National Guard and has other specialized units ready to address crime in D.C. He said this during a press conference with President Trump yesterday, and he, as Trump, declared a public safety emergency in D.C. Yep. Hey, we know you're busy. We want to make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast, every minute, every issue, on demand in one place. Now, free on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iHeart.